want to call to order the Health, Education, Welfare Committee meeting. That I want to ask Representative Jack if he would give the invocation, please. Roll call, please.
Johnny Green.
Present.
Joyce Deere.
Present.
Jody Barnett.
Present.
James Jennings.
Here.
Rufus Scott.
Here.
I'm sure you got 5 present and 0 absent.
5 present, 0 absent constitutes a quorum. All business conducted will be official. We have our minutes. April didn't get to email them out to us, so everybody had time to look at them. The minutes for May the 10th. Motion by Representative Jennings to approve the minutes with any corrections. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Deere. A roll call vote, please.
Jody Barnett.
Yes.
Joyce Deere.
Yes.
James Jennings.
Yes.
Rufus Scott.
Yes.
And Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. The minutes are approved with any corrections. Going to the order of business. Ms. Deere.
Madam Chair, I request that we move NCA 16082 to the top of the order of business.
Second.
Motion by Ms. Deere to move NCA 16-082 to the top of the order. Second by Ms. Jennings. Roll call vote, please.
Joyce Deere.
Yes.
Jody Barnett.
Yes.
James Jennings.
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
And Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. We will move NCA 16082 and address that first. NCA 16-082, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing an appropriation to the Muscogee Creek Nation Head Start Program for the purchase of 2 new 29 passenger buses. The sponsor is Ms. Deere.
Motion to pass.
Motion by Ms. Deere for a due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Barnett. Any discussion?
Yes. I have Ms. Cameron, who's here from the Head Start program. Can I just speak on this?
Head Start is requesting 2 buses. We currently have 12 buses.
Thank you. Do you have any comments? Thank you. Any questions? No questions? Roll call vote, please.
Jody Barnett.
Yes.
Joyce Deere.
Yes.
James Jennings.
Yes.
Rufus Scott.
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. I'd be sent to BF&J for funding source. back to the top of the agenda. PR 16-082, a travel resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute a renewal application with the Oklahoma State Department of Health for a diagnostic x-ray permit for each Muscogee Creek Nation health facility. Sponsor, Mr. Deere.
Motion to pass.
Motion by Mr. Deere for a do pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Jennings. Discussion.
Good afternoon. This is actually a renewal agreement that's required by the state annually for it's actually a permit to use the X-ray tool.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any questions? Any questions? Roll call vote, please.
Dodie Barnett.
Yes.
Joyce Deere.
Yes.
James Jennings.
Yes.
Rufus Scott.
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. TR 16-084, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute a subscription and license agreement for the Muscogee Creek Nation Department of Health with NCS Pearson Inc. Sponsors, Representative Jennings.
Madam Chair, I make a motion for a due pass.
Motion by Mr. Jennings for a due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Deere. Discussion.
This software is utilized by the Denver Health Department, so it's just an upgrade to the existing software. They use it for psychological assessments for ADHD and Lyme disease.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions? Roll call vote, please.
Dodie Barnett.
Yes.
Joyce Deere.
Yes.
James Jennings.
Yes.
Rufus Scott.
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Next is TR 16-086, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute a Veterans Choice Program Provider Agreement between the Muscogee Creek Nation and the Department of Veterans Affairs for the Muscogee Creek Nation Department of Health. Sponsors, Mr. Jennings. Motion by Mr. Jennings for a due pass. Is there a second?
Second
by Ms. Deere. Discussion.
This agreement will allow veterans to initiate self-referral.
Mr. Jennings.
So does that require the veterans to enroll with the Veterans Affairs also?
My understanding is when they're eligible for benefits, so I believe that's a step in that process, and they would be able to come into our departments, our facilities, and self-refer, essentially, they can come in and seek services. So my understanding is they have to be eligible for benefits to do that.
More questions? Joyce, I'm sorry.
Thank you. Well, okay, so will the benefits be done by a VA employee or will it be the nation? Explain.
The choice program is similar to us being enrolled in a cadet plan as a provider or something like that. The choice program is for those veterans who cannot get an appointment within 30 days of the desired date within the VA or live more than 30 miles from the VA provider. So say somebody goes to Muscogee routinely, but that care, they have to wait for the 30 days and they can go on the open market. We would be considered one of the open market providers.
Okay. Any more questions? Roll call vote, please.
Dodie Barnett.
Yes.
Joyce Deere.
Yes.
James Jennings.
Yes.
Rufus Scott.
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. This TR16-087, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute a comprehensive workforce management services agreement between the Muscogee Creek Nation and Medisets Workforce Solutions for certain facilities in the Muscogee Creek Nation Department of Health. Sponsor is Representative Jennings.
Madam Chair, make a motion for a due pass.
The motion by Representative Jennings for a due pass. Is there a second? Second by Representative Deere. Discussion?
This is an agreement basically with MedAssets for nurse staffing. We currently have an agreement that the medical centers will still extend it to the physical rehab center and to the recreation community hospital.
Any questions? Roll call vote, please.
Dodie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. TR16-088, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute a clinical rotation agreement on behalf of the Department of Health. Our sponsor is Representative Barnett.
Motion due pass.
Motion by Ms. Barnett for a due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Jennings. Discussion?
This will be a clinical rotation for healthcare students and
Do we still use OSU?
Yes, we have several actually. This is just one.
And added to?
Yes.
Thank you. Question? Roll call vote, please.
Dodie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. TR16-089, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation confirming the nomination of Vernon Courtright to serve on the Muscogee Creek Nation Election Board. Sponsors, Representative Barnett.
Madam Chair, make a motion due pass.
Motion by Representative Barnett for a due pass. Is there a second?
Second
by Representative Scott. Discussion? Yes.
It's my honor to be nominated by Chief Floyd to serve once again on our tribal election board. I'm well aware of the importance of public, fair, and partial elections to Creek Nations. Current voting policies and procedures are among the best in the nation, but they can be better, and they should be. I've served 2 different terms before on the election board and allowed my last term to expire, as I believe that as many citizens as possible should be given the opportunity to serve on our tribal boards, and that there should be term limits on these boards. In my opinion, lengthy terms lead to stagnation and resistance to change, which leads to the second reason I left the board. In the end, I became frustrated with the confrontational attitude that existed in our meetings because I refused to accept the status quo and ask questions and propose changes that no one but me would agree with. Things like, I believe that it was the election board's duty and obligation to try and get as many people registered to vote as possible, and then encourage them to get out and vote. It actually took me a while to have them agree with me. In the end, they did, and they started a program like that. Every election, absentee voters would call in and question why they had to use number 2 pencils to mark their ballots, while district voters use black pens. I don't doubt there are many absentee voters to this day that believe their votes can be erased once they reach the election office. I agree that if there's even a semblance of that happening, we should do something about it. I propose we buy some all cheap black pens and send them along with our absentee ballots, but was told and voted down by the election board that it was too expensive, which leads me to things being too expensive.
Where we hold election style, just district voting and absentee voting is expensive. Training and paying expenses and stipends for poll workers for every election takes up the biggest part of that cost. Whereas with total absentee election, it would be less expensive, easier for people to vote, and we have a lot more participation. Absentee voters have decided virtually every election in recent history. The election board visited the Chickasaw Nation, whose election has been total absentee for years. And they experience voter participation regularly in the 40% range, and sometimes more. In the Creek Nation, 14% is about average. In my opinion, our last election could have been total absentee, but the election board manager and the board decided there was not enough time to implement the laws and procedures. I disagreed and was voted down. Dead people voting. Sometimes I think it's a joke, but I believe it did happen. I can't say for sure. Nevertheless, I believe a better job can be done by the election board staff, utilizing all the digital information and databases available, and having the full cooperation of all in the Creek Nation departments. I'm someone who believes change can be a good thing, but it's not always easy or simple. And not everyone agrees with that, but to confirm, I'll do my best to introduce the change if I feel it necessary, or I try to continue to investigate. So, I know I'd be glad to answer any questions if anybody has any.
Stop.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't have any questions. I just have a comment, and that would be that I've known Vernon for a lot of years. We met down in Nepal at a powwow, which later he joined the Honor Guard. He's been a member of the Honor Guard for the Creek Nation, and I've known him for a lot of years. He's a good person. I think he's an honest man. And we've discussed the election board before he was appointed for nomination back when the elections were about. And me and him both agree that there needs to be a lot of changes in the election board, and I think some were tried to be made while he was on the board, but I think he met with opposition. But I think he would, he's not opposed to change, and I think there is a lot of changes that we need, and I think he'd be an excellent choice for the confirmation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Also,
Matt, you want to begin?
Yes.
Rufus Scott would like to co-sponsor this bill, and I'm okay with that if it's okay with the committee.
Are y'all okay with that? Representative, y'all?
Yes, thank you. I've got a comment I'd like to ask Mr. Courtright. Do you believe who really exerts authority in the election board? Is it the board or the manager, in your opinion? Or from your previous experience?
From my previous experience, the board is actually looks more towards the election manager as a supervisor rather than the other way around. I always thought that the election board was there to conduct elections fairly, and there's an excellent staff there we have that are entirely literally able to do that. But a lot of times it's the election board. We weren't given all the information that I think we should have. It took several years for us to just be able to see the election board budget. There are background checks that all candidates have to go through, which none of us have ever seen, and I believe we probably should. And there could have even been an issue about that with the last election, but we didn't get a chance to see those.
Madam Chair, I'd also like to say that, you know, Mr. Colbert, this is Representative Thompson, that since the Honor Guard has been about 20
there any more questions? Thank you. More questions? Roll call vote, please.
Dodie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Steer?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes.
And he needs to be here prior to pre-agenda on the 18th.
Yes. Mr. Courtright will be here at pre-agenda on the 18th. 18th?
Yes.
At 9 o'clock.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Next is NCA 16-069, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation appropriating funds to continue the Junior Volleyball Challenge Program to be administered by the Department of Education and Training. Sponsors, Ms. Barnett.
Motion due pass.
Motion by Ms. Barnett for due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Scott. Any discussion?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. There was some confusion since our email server was down all weekend. I had emailed the BotBall contract people to be here today, but they didn't get the email because our email server's down still. So I also have an alternative budget to this that brought the cost down to $176,000 from the $249,467 that it is now. With the new budget, but I can't access it because it's in our email and we can't access our emails. So we're flying a little bit blind today, but what I'd like to ask the committee to do is consider remarks from people that have shown up here today and to pass it on to the full council. This program actually affects every single district, and I would appreciate consideration for the full council to make a decision on this and not hold up a nationwide program just among us four or five. So the first person I'd like to turn some time over to is Ashley Fixico. She's actually one of the summer youth employees. Ashley is a graduate of Seminole High School. She was valedictorian of her class, and she currently attends Dartmouth College. And she has been trained on the BotBall curriculum in order to teach it this summer to the summer camps that they're doing in Holdenville and the one that's going to be later this month here in Okmulgee. So, Ashley, do you want to go ahead and take some time?
Yeah. Okay. My name is Ashley Fixico. I'm a junior at Dartmouth College this year. And my majors are in government and Spanish, one of the geography, with a minor in studies. So, I'm not actually in STEM, but there's like a lot of benefits with doing STEM. A lot of my friends are in STEM, and I've actually done the volleyball camps, and I was recently trained to do the curriculum. And the one thing I really love about football is that it teaches critical thinking, which is very important for our youth and our children today, because whenever I first went to college, I struggled a lot with critical thinking. I wanted to regurgitate facts and information back to my professors, and I got my first C on paper, and I was heartbroken. I know that's not like a big deal to some, but it was like a big deal to me. And I struggled a lot with like identity crisis because like she said I was like valedictorian, I was like this big brain, and I struggled a lot because I was taught to always like do the equation and you'll get the right answer, regurgitate facts and information. And the thing I really love about Wobble is that you can't do that. So like last week with the training, we had to do this simple exercise, just like pick up the can and move it back to the line. And I struggled with that so much because it was like, okay, so how to write the code? And I wanted someone to like give me the code so I could know how to do it. But then like every robot is different, every code is different, and we all had different approaches to it. And it was really interesting to see like how like we all worked through it and how we thought about like how to approach the problem. Like some of us picked up the can first and then moved it. Some of us like rotated around the can and then picked it up. And it was like very interesting, and it gave me a different perspective on how I looked at it. And that's very important for youth today, the way that the society becoming more like technology based, and right now, like Oklahoma is like one of the lowest states ranked in like education. And if we want to have like more like native leaders and more like, or if we want our own people like in office and like doing things for like the nation for generations to come, we have to like supply programs for them that teach them how to like critically think and to approach different problems with new perspectives, and regurgitating equations and like teaching them how to like take a test is not going to like accomplish that. So like that's what I really like about Bobble.
Do you want to talk about coding as preparation for college?
Okay, so I never did coding before ever, and last summer I worked at the summer camp in Watonga, and we had Kelly come in and then just teach some of our kids football. And so as counselors, we had to learn how to code, and like we use the C program, which I don't know what C means, I don't know what Java means, I can't tell you the difference. But the way like some colleges are doing, like you have to like take a coding class now, just I don't really know why, because like I guess that's the way the world's moving. And so like I had to take a stats class. Like I said, I'm a gov major, and I had to take a statistics course in government, and it was all coding. And luckily, like I kind of knew what the program kind of looked like, and I kind of knew like what I needed to do, and I knew that I couldn't approach it with just information. So like, using what limited knowledge I had, like just working the 3 days of the camp, I was able to use that and apply it to my schoolwork. And it really came in handy because like some of the other students that were in my class, they had been coding for years. And I had like moved to the robot forward, and that was it. But that little move forward like made me like feel so much better, because I wasn't walking into a blind and I kind of knew what to expect. And just like kind of that is like what, like that foundation is what we kind of need to give our children, because like, I mean, they're going to be competing against all kinds of people out in the world, and like it's not just Oklahoma anymore, like the world is becoming more globalized, and we can't just think about like Hughes County, Crete County, like we got to think about Japan, China, and like on a global sphere, and like we need to make our kids competitive, and I feel like while other programs like that can help us.
So you're saying that it's actually required college work, coding. Coding is required college work now.
Yes, in some courses. So like, especially for my college, and I've talked to a few friends from around here, and they've had to take like coding one, and like a lot of your classes weren't doing coding. Like classes you need like think about, like for my coding class, it was like all about statistics and population sizes and education rates and things that you could use a pen and paper for, but they wanted to use coding.
Thank you, Ms. Ashley. And then just really quickly, Jay and Michael Hester are here. They're from Tulsa Public Schools, Indian Education. And they're two of the Johnston, or well, Jay is a Johnston O'Malley employee that has been trained in the program. And they work with the Tulsa Public Schools kids just like about 90 seconds. But if it weren't for Jay Hester, we wouldn't have broke through in the Tulsa Public Schools. It was very hard to get through, and Jay took it upon herself, and the very first school that she implemented this in was 100% free and reduced lunch site. It was one of the poorest districts in Tulsa Public Schools that our kids attend, and they wouldn't have had this if it hadn't been for Jay. So I just want to acknowledge her for that, because I know that those kids and those parents really appreciate you for that, Jay. Do you want to talk a little bit about what Bobball is and what it does?
I really like this program. When I first came in, like everyone else, I didn't know how to code, didn't know what to do. Took it to my husband, he's a teacher, but I tried it out on him. This program works. The people that you found, Bob, Steve, Carol, Goodgame, it's working like you want it to work. The Creek Nation kids get first chance. You can't have a lot of kids on one Bob. So if Tulsa Public Schools implemented this and went to a principal and said, give me your top 10 kids out of 600, there might not be a Creek child pool. This way, the Creek kids are pooled. They get the t-shirts. They get the go to Expo Square. My program, Possible at Schools, which we need, and very good about paying for lunches and buses and t-shirts. He's very behind it. The kids learn, of course, math and science. getting what they want, seeing them go through the frustration, and then trying, and then succeeding is amazing. It's simply amazing. This stretches out on all curriculums. This stretches out beyond what you can, you know, what you didn't expect, what you didn't require. The kids, Tulsa's a different animal. Tulsa's becoming very urban. Some population's very poor. They would not have this opportunity. And they certainly wouldn't get to go to Expo Square, get fed lunch, get fawned over, praised, if it weren't for this program. I like the people running the program. I called them at 7 o'clock at night. I can't get this thing to move. And they step through it. It's working on all of us. It's working the way you want. It's getting to the kids you want. And it's doing what you want.
Thank you, Jen.
If I'm missing, like, an anger, I stay after school and work with the Creek kids, and they love it. I started doing research on code writing, and then look at different careers. And as a teacher, they can, if they become sufficient, and you're able to do it, they can make more money than I can just out of high school. If you have a cell phone, if you have an app, if you've seen a robot in any industry, video games, it's all done through code. And it just, teaches them to think. It's just trial and error. They have to look at the problem. They have to make a hypothesis. And just, it's easy for me to teach. I just kind of say, here's what I want you to do, and have fun. And I just kind of sit back and watch and figure it out. It's just an amazing, it's a good tool for a teacher and prepares those kids for college. It teaches them linear thinking. It makes thinkers out of them, which is what a lot of students are liking.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
Do we have any questions from anyone?
Chair, how many participants did you have from Hughes County and Cuesta County? Ryan,
I can only speak for Tulsa Public Schools. We had about 106 from Tulsa Public Schools, and I'd like to get it more. I'd like to get it bigger. It's hard to recommend, because Tulsa has a very regimented. Filling the dots out of this. So it's breaking in, I think, once people see it, but we have 160 right now.
And in Hughes County and Louisville particularly, they have gone all into the schools. So.
Thank you.
It's in 12 schools in Tulsa.
Thank you.
Are there any questions from the any representatives? Comments? Beaver.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Who runs the program? Runs the program with Tribe? Who does this money go to?
It goes to the KISS Institute or Kipper Institute.
Practical Robotics.
KISS Institute for Practical Robotics is what that stands for. They're a nonprofit.
But not a tribal program at all.
The Tribe contracts with them directly. For us to bring this in as a tribal program and hire tribal employees and have office space, which Lord knows where they'd be housed, and to get everything that they would need, computers, laptops, pay of their benefits and everything, whenever Dr. Johnson was still here, we looked at that, and it would have tripled the budget easily like that. And that's even before you get out to the schools to work with the kids.
This has to be administered by the Department of Education and Training.
Yes, they direct. They report, and will report to Greg, but they have always reported to the Secretary of Education and Training.
So how is this implemented? How is this program actually implemented in the schools? How is it? I mean, because Morris nobody contacted Morris.
They did contact Morris. I contacted Morris personally, myself.
Well,
so does Carol Goodgame.
My community said nobody contacted about this.
Not the community, the school. We contacted Morris.
Well, the parents are, they have children. And
I came to your community meeting and let the parents know.
I'm saying, that's what they said. Okay, so I'm wondering how is this implemented to the schools, especially the schools that have a higher count of Native American kids, specifically Creek kids.
Yes.
I mean, I know what Holdenville does, but who else? I mean, TPS?
No, it's in, actually, it's in all, one shape or another, it's in all 8 districts, and I don't have access to my email, or I could give you a list of every single school that was in the program this year. What happened was, whenever it first came out, we didn't have anybody from the education department and training department to dedicate to it, so Carol Gagame and I personally contacted every superintendent in all of our 63 schools that are in our boundaries. We contacted every superintendent, every elementary school principal, and as many teachers as we could blanket and canvas, personally. We called them, we emailed them, and some of the schools, if they were in striking distance, we went and drove there and showed up and shook hands and talked to people about it. So every single school in this boundary has been contacted. Every single one, I can guarantee you that, because a lot of them I did personally. And the ones that picked it up are the ones that picked it up. There were some schools, they don't have a dedicated teacher, like Wilika. The kids are jumping. They would love to have a program in Wilika, but they didn't have a teacher to head it up. There was one school, and it escapes me right now. I want to say it was Wetumpka, but they signed up, and their teacher didn't start instructions, so those kids missed out, but they signed up.
So does this money go back to the schools that are just enrolled, or are any school, who do they, if school wants to do it, who do they call to say, hey, I want to do this?
Carol Goodgame. There's a website, and all they have to do is call. There's an application they fill out. They need their principal support. They need 2 teachers to lead it. And then they give us a student list. That student list is verified because they have to have at least half those students be Muscogee Creek citizens. And once that student list is verified, then they're given a scholarship, and they're given the robot kits, and they're given training. And from there, Carol Goodgame actually does surprise visits to make sure. If they say, I've got 5 Creek kids, she shows up without any notice to make sure those 5 kids are working with the robots. So she does surprise inspections. They're available via text, email, phone. Like Jay said, they can call them at 7 o'clock at night. If they have a question about bot ball, Carol and Steve are there to answer every single one of their questions.
Who has physical oversight?
What do you mean? Explain physical, I don't understand.
Physical.
Like showing up? Oh, it's fiscal.
Yeah.
The Secretary of Education and Training.
So, do you want to have fiscal oversight of kids will report to Mr.?
They will report to him, and in the past, they have always reported to him. I mean, reported to that position, obviously Greg's name. So, that's in the contract that they report directly to the Secretary of Education and Training. That's the way Dr. Johnson wanted it set up. One of the things that I visited with Greg Anderson and Chief both about, I mean, bot ball and my honor contracts. If there's something they want changed in the contract, change it. It's negotiable. It's a contract. If that's not how Greg wants it set up and he doesn't want to have anything to do with bot ball, then we need to figure out where it's going to go. But the program is sustainable. Dr. Pete has been working on getting an account set up and a giving campaign specifically for bot ball and for my honor. So that citizens, companies, whoever can donate tax-free in order to support these programs if the tribe's not going to support them, or in conjunction with the tribe, either way. But all of that is underway now.
Have you been able to talk with the kids?
I have met them once at the Capitol during the Muscogee Creek Nation Day. I did have a chance to visit them. I have not talked to them since. I did have a meeting with the Representative Barnett to discuss program. I don't know that much about it without the accountability. I think the money goes through legislation to the kids organization. I don't know how it's been. I've received one email with an update about the Tulsa event that was several weeks ago, but that's the only contact I had with them.
So the fiscal oversight is, I mean, will they be reporting to Greg about where the money's spent?
Sure. Yeah, the way this contract, and again, that's negotiable. The way the contract was in the past is that all the money was given up front.
Who negotiated the contract?
The Secretary of Education has in the past.
So, Anderson would negotiate this
Mr. Anderson or Chief or, I mean, it's open. It's a contract. In the beginning, it was Dr. Johnson that negotiated both the first and second contracts and the terms of those contracts.
So out of the 400 students that did it last year, over half native students? Is that
yes. Yes. Last year, and I don't have the numbers right in front of me, so don't hold me to it, but I know more than half the students were Creek, and if I remember the numbers right, about 70% were native in general. a lot of the schools, they have a 50% Creek requirement to have scholarships through our program, but a lot of them will have all native teams, so they're not just necessarily Creek.
So is the money being spent on just the Creeks or just as a whole?
For the whole program. What the money's being spent on is the professional development and ongoing support. So the travel that goes through the mileage of showing up at all the schools, and then the robot kits themselves. Those robot kits are reusable. So the robot kits that we bought that first year, those are bought, those are assigned, those are with teachers and students, and then those just continue for the next year. And so that's how it's grown. The robot kit cost itself has stayed the same each year. It's just we add more teams and buy new robots to expand and give more teams an opportunity.
So over half the kids were Creek, and then you said 75%. Somewhere around there was Native in general?
Yes.
The 400 kids?
Yes, out of all of the ones that are in the program, yes. Now, some of the schools have a partnership with KISS Institute. So like, let's say Shakota, for example. Shakota was actually already doing junior bot ball. They had two robot kits and they had two teams at Shakota. When we implemented this actually gave the Creek students a chance to participate because they had to have those Creek students there. So when we instituted JBC for Muskogee Creek Nation, then they added two more teams that were Creek students. Those students weren't at the table before we implemented this program. Payton had no robotics program at all, and their middle school team is getting ready, or they just win. I can't remember if they've already won or if they're just getting ready to, but they're going to Florida for an international high school robotics program because they excelled so well at this. Those junior high kids are already doing high school curriculum. So there's all kinds of areas. Ryle, Bearden, they wouldn't have the money to do anything like this. Bearden actually does classroom instruction with bot ball. So they actually have it in the classroom. This is part of the kids' math and science class. And Ryle did the same thing. So, I mean, those tiny schools like that who are 80, 90% Native American, they wouldn't have the money for a world-class program like this.
Thank you. Are there any more questions? I'm looking at the budget. It says that they were hiring two coordinators, preferably Muskogee Creek Nation citizens. Has that been done?
No. You can't hire them until the budget gets passed because they don't actually have the money.
They didn't do that before?
No.
So we don't have anybody representing?
No. Well, in fact, it was my understanding, there was an alternate budget that I have, but I can't access it because it's in my email. But it was my understanding that the council had concerns about the 249 or 246,000 number. So there was an alternate budget that we can present on the floor later in the month that takes those two new employees out. And it would still be the 176,000, which is about 8,000 or 9,000 less than it was last year. That was always, when Dr. Johnson came in, you know, we've had a lot of instability in the position of Secretary of Education. We just have. So especially with these contract programs, I mean, they've kind of been free-floating. We've been looking for a lot of direction, and I know that'll shore up as soon as Greg, you know, gets his sea legs under it. But they have been still operating off of those initial directives from Dr. Johnson. So his initial plan was to expand, the third year to expand, to bring at least one or two Creek citizen employees in, so that we have those actual Creek people that are working with the kids and getting that job experience for them. And then hopefully in a year or two, having that person or those people actually administering the program and running the program as far as training the curriculum and doing all of the things that Steve and Carol Goodgame do now. So, and that could work any way we wanted it to work. They could be Kipper Institute employees that we choose, they're open to that, or they can be Creek Nation employees, or that is however we build the program to be. But it could go either way now. If we pass the 246, then we can hire those employees. And if we don't, then Steve and Carol Goodgame would still administer the program with the current budget of approximately 176,000. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay.
No more questions? Roll call vote, please.
Jody Barnett.
Yes.
Joyce Deer?
Yes.
James Jennings?
No.
Rufus Scott?
No.
Madam Chair, there is a tie, so in that case, you get to vote. Johnny Green?
No.
Madam Chair, you've got 2 in favor and 3 against.
2 in favor, 3 against. That motion fails. Next is NCA 16-083, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the expenditure of grant funds awarded by the Indian Health Service Tribal Equipment Funds to the Muscogee Creek Nation Department of Health for the Creek Nation Community Hospital and the Okima Indian Clinic. Sponsor is Mr. Jennings. Motion for due pass by Mr. Jennings. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Deer. Discussion?
This will be for travel and equipment for the hospital.
Are there any questions? Questions? Roll call vote, please.
Dodie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deer?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. NCA 16-084, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a special appropriation to a Muscogee Creek College student. Our sponsor is Representative Dale Beaver. Motion by Representative Jennings for a due pass. Is there a second?
Second
by Representative Scott. Discussion? Beaver?
This is for a Greek student who's already at his internship in Washington, D.C. As you can tell, it's $8,000. And so he's asked for half of that. He spent hardly $4,000 from his savings for his internship. And so he is eligible for $1,000 from the Muscogee Youth Fund. So what he's asking for is an extra $3,000. And so this is kind of a weird situation because I know Ms. Barnett has an amendment to that youth fund later on in the agenda. And so I'm just wondering how that is going to affect this because even in that amendment, if there still is language in there that you can waive it by 2/3 of the vote. So it's kind of to me it looks like a little weird situation. This is basically what the deal is right now. Before we get to that, he wants to get $1,000 from you from the AC Mason Department, and then a special appropriation for $3,000. He's 23, he won't turn 25 until not this September, but next September. Where if he was 25, then he could just come to council and ask for $4,000. I asked him, well, if you don't get the extra $3,000, how are you going to pay for it? Since he's already at the internship, he said, just have to get a loan and credit card. So, I'm happy to try to answer any questions for him.
Are there any questions? Mr. Jennings?
So would you be opposed to us amending it to $4,000 instead of $3,000 and eliminate the $1,000 from the youth council?
I wouldn't be opposed to it, and I'm sure he wouldn't either. Yeah, that's kind of what I drew all the different scenarios that kind of ran through my head was, well, let's just give the youth and just go straight to the $4,000.
Does he already have the $1,000?
Uh-huh.
Does he already have the $1,000 already?
I don't think so. That's not how I understand. He doesn't have the $1,000 already, right?
No,
he doesn't have that $1,000 yet. And in fact, the Youth Council and the Department of Education and Training for the extracurricular grant have have an agreement that they don't let the kids double dip. It's one or the other, because that way you help more citizens, because we only have a finite amount of money. I have very mixed emotions about this, because the whole reason we moved that money over to the youth council was that so that these appropriations don't come through the council anymore. When we had them, they were not advertised. It was very inconsistent. We'd give one $500, we'd give another one $8,000. There was no rhyme or reason to it. It was very unfair. The whole reason we moved it over there was so that those youth were empowered to help each other through situations like this. I've already talked to you about it. It's nothing against this young man. We actually had a gentleman that came 2 or 3 years ago that asked, he had an internship like this, and we didn't help him at all. No, there was one, he used to be Mr. OU, and he was an NCAI representative. He came and he had a similar situation like this, and we didn't help him at all. There's just a lot of inconsistency to it. I think that in order to support the youth council and what we set up there for them, we should support it by sending everything through there and not letting these requests come through the council.
I understand that part too, and I hardly disagree with that. But also, I think to limit it as $1,000, that's kind of an arbitrary number. It's really not, you didn't define it off of anything, just $1,000. And so, if we want to do that, I think the youth council should have the full power and say, okay, we'll give them however much money the youth council, if they want to empower, like, truly empower the youth council, then let them decide how much money they should get.
They did. They made that decision. We didn't cap it off at $1,000, the youth council did.
So, maybe we should look at maybe changing the $1,000 cap.
You'd have to
like,
go in.
If I agree with you, but if it's going to be one or the other, then I would let Mr. Cameron know that we'll go through this route for $4,000 first. And if it passes, then they'll just go for the $1,000 for the income. And he said he's okay with it. I mean, if that's the way the council votes, then he's okay with that. But either way, he's already in D.C., so he's going to do it, and that's how he feels about it. It's worth it him to get loans and, pay part of the credit card. If one of them, you have to go for the $4,000, and then if you want to do one or the other, and said don't double dip, then he'll, give out $4,000 on the $1,000.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I'll make a motion to amend the amount $3,000, $4,000.
Representative Jennings made a motion to amend the amount from $3,000 to $4,000. Is there a second? Second by Representative Deere. Have a roll call vote, please.
Dodie Burnett?
No.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
And Chair, you got 3 in favor and 1 against.
3 in favor, 1 against. That amendment passes. Motion on the amendment. Are there any more questions? Not back to the main motion. Roll call vote, please.
Dodie Burnett?
No.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 3 in favor and 1 against.
3 in favor, 1 against. That motion passes to be sent to BF&J for funding source. Next is NCA 16-085, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a special appropriation to financially assist a Muscogee Creek citizen with medical expenses. The sponsor is Representative Scott.
Madam Chair, motion to do pass.
Motion by Representative Scott for do pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Jennings. Discussion? Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was contacted by Mr. Harjo, who is a tribal elder. He was diagnosed with colon cancer, and he underwent surgery for that to remove that tumor. And his hospital stay was waived. However, there remains some outstanding bills that he wasn't able to pay.
The total was $731 and some few cents. Mr. Harjo is receiving Social Security in the amount of a little bit less than $600, and because the low amount of income that he's receiving and his living expenses has made it hard on him to pay these bills and stuff, and he contacted me and was asking the nation for assistance for his medical bills.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Any questions? Roll call vote, please.
Dodie Burnett?
No.
Joyce Steer?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
And Chair, you got 3 in favor and 1 against.
3 in favor, 1 against. That motion passes. Will be sent to BF&J for funding source. Next is NCA 16-086. A law of the Muscogee Creek Nation amending NCA 16-246. A law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a donation to the National Johnson O'Malley Association. Sponsors, Representative Barnett.
Motion due pass.
Motion by Ms. Barnett for due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Jennings. Discussion?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This legislation is to amend the existing setup that we have. Currently, we give a donation to the National Johnson O'Malley Association every year. When this first went into effect in 2012, their annual conference used to be in October, which was right after the end of the fiscal year. So the wording in the original bill was to give them 30 days after the conference in order to turn in all their receipts for the year's appropriation. Now they have their conference in March and April of every year in that time frame. So the year's not even half over yet, and this past year they had to kind of scramble and try to get receipts and spend all the money before the deadline was up. So if we change the wording in this bill to just match up with the fiscal year, then it'll give them the whole year in order to spend the money that we give them.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions? Questions? A roll call vote, please.
Dodie Burnett?
Yes.
Joyce Steer?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Next is NCA 16-087. A law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a donation to the Oklahoma Wild Bunch Youth Rodeo Association. Sponsors, Representative Jennings.
Madam Chair, I make a motion for due pass.
Motion by Representative Jennings for due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Barnett. Discussion? Thank you. Are there any questions?
Just a comment. We sponsored the same group last year. Mr. Pendergrass was in charge of it at that time. We did
Thank you. Any more questions? Roll call vote, please.
Dodie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
And Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Will be sent to BF&J for funding source. Next is NCA 16-088, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a supplemental appropriation for the Muscogee Creek Nation Head Start Program and expend any additional funds awarded by the United States Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families. Sponsors, Representative Barnett.
Motion due pass.
Motion by Ms. Barnett for due pass. Is there a second? Second by Representative Scott. Discussion? Are there any questions?
I have a question for Mr. Booker. So, how did they come up with this 20% of the match?
It's not a normal thing.
May I approach? Yes, we did. If you take the federal and the gaming and you times it by 20%, you get the match. But if you take the federal budget and you times it, it's the same as 0.25%.
Thank you. Any more questions? Not. Roll call vote, please.
Dodie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Will be sent to BF&J for funding source. Next is NCA 16-089. A law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a donation to Baptist Village. Sponsors, Representative Scott.
Madam Chair, motion for due pass.
Motion by Representative Scott for a due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Barnett. Discussion?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
We have Ms. Powell from the Baptist Village Retirement Community Home. She's here to explain all the details for the assistance that's requested, also to answer any questions that we may have, Ms. Powell.
Thank you. I'm the campus director at this village. I appreciate the honor of being here to speak with you today. Just a little bit about Baptist Village. There's a lot of times misconceptions about who we are and what we are. We are an active senior community here in Olney that houses seniors 55 and older. We are a non-profit organization. We have financial assistance that we do offer for low-income residents that do qualify. And that's done through donations through a multitude of areas. A lot of the people that work for Baptist Village donate to that. We gave over $500,000 last year in financial assistance for seniors over the state of Oklahoma. And that's done all by donations. Our campus here is 30 years old, and so we have a lot of need to make it a campus that's safe and a good community for our seniors to live in. And one of the projects that we're requesting assistance for today is our lighting. We've been slowly trying to replace all of the street lights because everything is so old you can't get parts for them anymore. So we've slowly been trying to, out of our budget, replace street lights with new LED lights that'll last. And we do have a lot more lighting on the campus that helps with security for our residents that do need to be replaced. And so that's what the $5,000 will be put for.
Are there any questions? Jenny?
So how many Creek residents do you have out there?
Right now we have 4 Creek residents. We have about 8 or 10 Native Americans, 4 of which are Creek. Now we have 2 in our assisted living, and we have 2 in our independent living right now. Over the past year, we don't have a lot of records on our independent living people, so it could be much higher, but I know that we've had 10 or 12 over the past couple years that I've been there. Through our building, we are having some of the summer workers that work for us out there. I know there's a lot of people that get services through the Creek Nation through us. Need to advertise to you guys a lot more. We'd love to have a lot more Creeks out there. I think people think you have to be Baptist to live there. You don't. We're not owned by the Baptist. We were founded by Baptist 30 years ago. But we are not for profit, and we have all nationalities. We have all religious groups that live out there and enjoy our community.
Are there any more questions? Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't have any questions for Ms. Powell. I just want to make a comment. When I read this and I contacted Ms. Powell, that was the first question that I had is, how many Creek citizens do we have to understand that? And although it may be a long amount right now, you know, any time that I could do anything to help a tribal elder, then I'm in favor of it.
Thank you. No more questions? Roll call vote, please.
Dodie Barnett.
Yes.
Joyce Deer.
Yes.
James Jennings.
Yes.
Rufus Scott.
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Will be sent to BF&J for a funding source. This is NCA 16-090, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a special appropriation to Eufaula Indian Community. Our sponsor is Representative Randolph. Motion by Representative Jennings for a due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Barnett. Discussion?
Going on this summer, the Youth Council looked for community centers to partner with in order to do summer activities there, and the Health Department does a leadership summit every spring. And is there a reason that you haven't partnered with any of our governmental agencies?
No, that's a simple reason. It was just an idea 2 months ago, and we opened up statewide. Citizens with statewide tribes and 40 students.
Yes, thank you. I'm sorry.
I'd like to add, when we were first doing the legislation, that they were asking for 4,500. I think the casino over there was able to give them 2,000 or something. I bought it down to 2,500. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any more questions? Thank you.
Madam Chair, Darrell Proctor could be added as a co-sponsor.
I don't think Darrell Proctor added as a co-sponsor. Roll call vote, please.
Dodie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. It will be sent to VF&J for funding source. This is NCA 16-095, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a donation to the Hannah Rural Fire Association. Sponsor is Representative Jack. Motion by Representative Jennings for a due pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Representative Scott. Discussion?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I'm calling one of our volunteer firefighters, in the community, Rachel.
Are there any questions? Yes, Ms. Barnett.
What is the total budget for that event?
We usually spend about $4,500, but we get donations from the casinos, we go to the car dealerships, and everywhere we could get donations. And this goes for 3,000. The more donations we get, we have it going for years and years.
What, in your community, what's the demographics racially? Like, how many of your residents are Cree or Native?
Out of 15 firefighters, we have 8 of them that are Native American. Our chief, James Berryville, he is Cree also. I want to say about 70% of the people we know are Native Americans. We have also three stomp grounds that we also go to if anything happens. I mean, there's quite a few, and this is just nothing we can give our town to. It's a little town. So this right here, and it also helps the other thing too. Yavala is a good 20-minute drive, and it's hard for them to see at night, so we also help with parking.
Thank you, Madam.
Any more questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Roll call vote, please.
Dodie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Deere?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Will be sent to BF&J for funding source. Yes, Mr. Jackson.
Mr. Darrell Proctor would like to be a co-sponsor for this.
Okay, thank you. Next is NCA 16-096, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing a special appropriation to a Muscogee Creek College student. As sponsor is Representative Proctor.
Motion to pass.
Motion by Mr. Barnett for a due pass. Is there a second? Second by Representative Jennings. Discussion? Proctor.
Thank you, Jane, for allowing me to be here today and speak about this legislation. We do have a college student
Thank you. Are there any questions? No questions. You know, he is a, like you said, a combat veteran of the Iraqi war.
Yes.
And he has a good letter here. Thank you. No questions. Roll call vote, please.
Dottie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Steer?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. Will be sent to BF&J for a funding source. Thank you. Next is NCA 16-097, a law of the Muscogee Creek Nation amending NCA Title 35, Section 9-103, entitled Special Appropriation Guidelines, and Section 113-103, entitled Eligibility Guidelines and Policy. Sponsors, Ms. Burnett.
Motion due pass.
Second.
Motion by Ms. Burnett for due pass, second by Representative Jennings. Discussion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is the amendment to the existing law that had moved our special citizen appropriations for youth over to the Youth Council. And it just specifies all citizens 24 years and younger shall not be eligible for special appropriations through the National Council pursuant to this section, but instead will be eligible for assistance through the Muscogee Youth Council grant opportunity as indicated in MCNCA Title 35, Subsection 13-103A4. As Representative Beaver pointed out, there also is a section that says waiver of this title may only be made by 2/3 vote of the full National Council. We looked at this a lot. Even it's been just a learning process, even moving the grant over there and all of the different kinds of things that people come for and help with, not always educationally related or sports related for that matter. But I was very hesitant to add that. I would like everything ideally in a perfect world to go through the Youth Council, but in the event that there's just something that we have never conceived of, once in a lifetime thing where the majority of the council approves it, then I don't want to potentially block any young person from pursuing something because we weren't thorough enough with the legislation. But it's open. I mean, if anybody has input on it or wants to amend it or talk about it, then feel free. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions and comments? Not. Roll call vote, please.
Dottie Barnett?
Yes.
Joyce Steer?
Yes.
James Jennings?
Yes.
Rufus Scott?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you got 4 in favor and 0 against.
4 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes. It's all on the order of business and other business. I think Representative Jennings want to introduce. Oh, he's not here. Okay. We also have presentations from Kiefer Middle School, Hummingbird, and Ms. Squire for bot ball.
May I say something?
Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to add, this is Ishota Hummingbird. He has been in the junior bot ball program for 2 school years now. Kiefer Middle School was one of the very first schools that signed up in the very beginning, so he's one of the old pros of this. He had come to our planning session last month when we attempted to get the legislation on the agenda. He was standing in the back of the room, and after the meeting, you know, he said, I think if the council could just see what it is and what it does, then maybe they would understand. And so he volunteered to come here today. He put together a presentation in order to present to the committee here. So thank you, Ishota.
We did work on it a lot.
should add too, there's usually a mask with markers
yes.
on it.
Is that the bot ball?
That's the junior bot ball for the little kids. The bot ball is a different robot, but there's a high school curriculum. This one is for 8th grade and younger.
Oh, so all of them look like that?
Yep. Pretty much. You can change the little... He's actually built those claws. Different kids have different front apparatuses on there because they have to... There's engineering design built into it, so they have to design that front. And Ashoda and Sierra designed a claw. They contribute, since it's a nonprofit organization, the Oklahoma State Department of Education gives money for scholarships so that Kipper can go out and give these robots. And the Kilpatrick Foundation from OU is also one of the founding organizations that helped them get underway with their nonprofit status. One of the things that I wanted to point out to you is when President Obama came to Oklahoma a few months ago, one of the things that he specifically said we needed more of was coders. And this is exactly what the kids learned with this program. The state superintendent showed up at the Junior Bot Ball event this year at the Expo Center because she felt like it was important enough to be there to see the kids doing it. And, you know, Vision Tulsa was here last month at our planning session to talk about bringing jobs to the nation, to Muskogee Creek Nation. You know, programs like this are what's going to help our kids be in those positions where they're going to be running those facilities instead of just working there like grunt workers. You know, if we don't give our kids a foundation, they're still going to be the bus boys and the janitors, you know, as opposed to running the place. So this program right here is exactly what's going to get the kids ready for those jobs that Vision Tulsa is trying to bring to our district.
And it's a great kids because they have to be there.
Not a
students on.
Everybody does it. It's really interesting to watch.
Yeah,
do you want to talk? Oh, go ahead.
The program, though, there's two
but it was still
so the exact same thing. So if you go on a straight line, you have to adjust from 100% down to 1%.
It's
a constant
sensor type right here. It's supposed to go. We just, that's why we have this touch sensor. And it goes up, and if it touches, it automatically stops.
I know a couple of the schools had talked about how it was a source of pride for the Creek students as well, because they felt special that it had been brought in specifically for them. They knew that the only reason that program was there was because of them.
He's
awesome.
He really is.
Go show those guys.
Yeah,
go show the guys. Show this.
The ones that are high.
Thank you.
Thank
very
you,
good. Very impressive.
It's amazing.
Next is Ms. Watson.
Also the books that have not been completely
read. So that means that when I took the snapshot at that time, those books were still open. So that means I hadn't finished reading them. So it's kind of like you're reading a book and you stop, you know, they said snapshot, you're still reading it. So that's kind of what the difference is. So if you're looking at it, it says read and open. Those are two separate data points, and together we consider those as access. And of course, you can look at the growth of that. I mean, it's just getting more and more contacts. And if anybody has any questions between I'm talking, please feel free to ask. We're also looking at the total amount of time spent reading. For some reason, mine is not showing up here. So the time spent reading has also increased. So again, we're looking at this school year. The time spent reading as a whole is over 64,000 hours. And then the Lexile. So Lexile is the reading level. Okay, so you have the Lexile number when you enter, when you first took that placement, and then the last Lexile placement or benchmark at the end of the school year. So that's average. We're just looking at the average as a whole. So it's kind of skewed a little bit, but you can still look at it if you're looking at this school year as an average for all of the people who have accessed and taken a placement and a benchmark. There's been 4% growth in Lexile. I did want to introduce Gina Stanley. She's here with me as well. She's with Mana. She's the account manager, so she's here if you have any questions as well. Also in there, you're going to also see I kind of pared it down with Johnson O'Malley. So we're just looking at the Johnson O'Malley. And we're also looking at further down the same data, time spent reading, Lexile growth, and the books read. The JOM students overall for the school year have improved their Lexile by 5%. The average rate for a school year to see a child grow in their Lexile is around 1.2 to 2% growth for the school year. So if you consider the national average is usually around 1.2 to 2%, we're at 5% growth with those kids that are logging in and taking a benchmark, which is phenomenal. And also in there, after the JOM data, is the child care and Head Start. And of course, we don't really look at their Lexile because they are so little, and the benchmarks and the placements that are built into Mion do not start until kindergarten. But I can tell you that I have spoken to many of the teachers, and so far Head Start kids are already reading. So they are taking benchmarks, some of those teachers. And I would like to say that I would like to keep coming back every month to the new committee and be able to approach and give small data. I would like to even look at just our child care and show you kind of what they're doing, or not our child care, but our Head Start, and see what they're doing, and even looking at their lifestyles of the students that are currently reading. So I would hope to bring you that data as well. And if you can, you're looking at the percentage of growth, these kids are accessing more and more books. They're spending more and more time on there as well. And then of course, on number four, as far as active users, those are steadily increasing as well. And I believe that a lot of it has to do with those administrators in those schools that are really behind the program, and they appreciate the program. And then the more they're seeing their kids actually improving and getting better, the more time they're getting to spend on there and sharing the data with them, the better they're at, they're getting at letting our kids have access to it. And I have seen that. And I did want to put some data in there about the Lexile, because if you're looking at the average, it's not really that great. You know, you're seeing 5%, which is really great, but you're not really getting to see the individual students. So on the last pages, you'll see when I ran the data, I selected the top 20 students. On number 5 on table 1, you're seeing the top 20 students where the school is not in the classroom, or the administration is not fully supporting it. It means that it's not in the classroom, or our teacher is not helping with it. We're still having phenomenal growth. if you look at the top percentile, this is from the beginning to this end of the school year, is, you know, that top student is 730% growth in their lifestyle, which is phenomenal. These kids, and I go in and I do meet some of these kids, and I hear great stories from teachers and parents saying how phenomenal the program is. It's such a great tool. Broken Arrow, if you see here, they are really great at using their JOM. They do their own family literacy nights. They invite families in. They send invitations out. They show them what Lion's about. They get more people on there reading. So it really does help. The last page, and if you compare that to that first one, these are schools that are using Lion in the school. So that means that the administration, the superintendent, the principals, the teachers, they all support Lion. And you can see how much of a growth that just having that support by the administration gives our kids. We're seeing even more growth in their lifestyle. And that's the lowest one. The 20th is 1,300% growth. If I had any questions about the data they're looking at, and I definitely would love it if you have any requests for data, I would be glad to prepare as well.
Anyone have any questions? Barnett.
I don't have a question. I just have a comment. Because those last, the table one and table two, where it shows the top 20 improved lifestyles. That's amazing, because you can see how much of a difference it is for that kid when the whole school is using Mion as opposed to just the JOM tutors, because the JOM tutors don't always have access to the kids. There's only certain times they can pull them out of class. Some teachers don't like their kids pulled out at all. It just depends on, it's very sporadic. But when you look at that and you see all these kindergartners, first, second, third graders, that's important. Because that third grade reading test determines whether or not they get promoted to the fourth grade. So, and if you look at these lexiles on that table one, we have high schoolers that have an elementary school reading level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's big. They need this program in order to get them over that next hump and prepare them for a career or career training or something like that, or college if they improve enough. So, thank you for all your work. I know you're a one-woman show.
Yeah. I try my best, but I love looking at that last data chart, because she is right. If you're looking at the grade levels, it's first, second. There's a lot of first and second graders. This is a key time. We've got to make sure that they're reading on their grade level, because they're going to take that third grade test, and they will not be promoted. So, I love to see it that way. It really does prove that it is improving and does help them.
Anyone else have questions? Thank you for taking the time to come down. And like
you
said, you will be at our few meetings from now.
Yes, I appreciate it.
Thank you
very much.
Are there any announcements?
Oh. James wants to announce from Saturday's Muskogee Creek Nation pageant the winners.
Want to do it?
You want it? Me?
You do it.
Me? Alright. Okay. I don't know if you can hear me. Pretty loud. James would like everybody to know that Saturday we had our Muskogee Creek Nation pageant for this year's Miss and Junior Miss, and we had 12 girls participate, 5 in the Miss and 7 in our Junior Miss. They all did really great, and our winner for our Junior Miss was Miss Madeline Lamb. She goes to Tahlequah Sequoia, and her mother is Rita Courtright, and she works over at our college, and she will be our Junior Miss this year. And our Miss was Miss Brittany McCain, and she goes to OU. She's a double major in Native American Studies, and I can't remember what the other one was. And also participating was Daryl's daughter, Amberly Proctor, and she got a runner-up. And then Joyce's granddaughter, Bailey Allen, she participated for Miss. So they did a great job. But those are our two winners for this year.
Thank you. Are there any more announcements? Beaver?
I'd like to say on behalf of the National Council, I'd like to give a thank you to the Judges, Mr. James Jennings, for sponsoring the bill here and here for diabetes. We had a bike ride Saturday. The rain didn't stop the riders, and we were very proud of the Creek Nation because the Osage Nation was represented, and also the Choctaw Nation was represented there. Which we had the biggest impact at that place. I felt very proud of the spoke of the nation to this fact. The council, we gave $10,000. The River Spirit Casino gave $5,000. The bike riders themselves, the health department, I'd like to thank the health department, they raised over $3,000 themselves. So they are to be commended for the work they've done for the Cure for Diabetes throughout the state, throughout the whole United States. But our nation, we need to take a lead. And because there's not one of us here that doesn't know anybody that has diabetes, I myself am diabetic. So, but I want to thank the health department very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Any more announcements? Jennings?
On that tour here, I was going to say, Speaker and Randall Hicks, they rode in the bike ride.
How far?
How far?
Yes.
Just one final one. Everyone keep Judge Bigler and that family in your prayers. Judge Bigler lost his mother over the weekend. She was 95, Josephine Wildcat Bigler, and it was a big loss. She was only one of four UT elders that spoke the UT language that were fluent speakers. So, you know, she was an educator, special education in the 60s when it was new and not a lot of people backed it or supported it. There was a lot of funding. So, her and her husband really did a lot all throughout the United States, especially across Indian country. So just keep the Bigelow family in your prayer, please.
Thank you. No more announcements? Motion for adjournment?
So moved.
Second. Motion by Ms. Barnett for adjournment. Second by Mr. Jennings. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Would I ask Representative Scott if he would give us the benediction, please?
Father God, Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day, Lord.